from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Abortion has moved back into the center of American politics, and the struggle to protect the unborn has become one of the biggest issues heading into the 2020 presidential election. As the rhetoric heats up, so too does the spiritual battle that underlies the struggle to end abortion in our country. This week on Register Radio, we discuss the spiritual ramifications of working to save the unborn. We talk to Father John Paul Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word and Register Digital Assets Managing Editor Elisa Murphy. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio. I'm joined in studio by Matthew Bunsen, my co-host and senior editor of the Register. Matthew, great to have you.
Always a joy to be here in studio with you in Alabama.
Very good. Very good.
Well, it's funny that we're talking here in Alabama because this has become kind of a ground zero for the abortion battle across the United States with the recent passage and signing by the governor of Alabama of what is clearly a bill designed to get to the Supreme Court. It essentially ends abortion in Alabama in all practical purposes. But this is just one bill of a host that have been approved by state legislatures all across the country. Heartbeat bills that we're seeing in Ohio and elsewhere, dismemberment bills that we're seeing in places like Michigan. And on the other side, we're seeing some of the most radical abortion bills being approved for in support of abortion in places like New York, and one that was proposed in Virginia that are tantamount to infanticide.
That's right. And all of this is, for the pro-life community, a response to the more than a million unborn children that are killed every year here in our country, in the United States. The human toll of this is staggering when you consider not only those unborn children, but their mothers and their siblings, the whole community that is impacted by abortion. And the spiritual reality is heavy. And that's why we have invited Father John Paul to be on our show today. Welcome. You're also here in studio with
us. I did not have to come very far.
That's
walked right.
Right
down the hill. Our friary is located on the WTN campus, so it's easy for you to get somebody to talk.
And no, it's very good because usually we're talking by Skype or, you know, by phone. And so it's always nice when I can see my guests and have just a really good discussion. And what a discussion this is. I mean, it has been a very, very difficult time. And just in the last week with this abortion law, there have been some very dangerous spiritual movements about. And one of those is something you brought to my attention. And that's why I wanted to have you. There was a call for a public hexing here in Alabama of the state legislature here, of the members of that legislature, a public hexing, a call for all the dark arts to direct all of their energy and anger in the spiritual world to these people.
Yes, the reality of evil is real. And this public hexing or cursing took place on Saturday night. They say it was a full moon outside, and they were calling upon Satanists, witches, sorcerers, all different types of spiritual gurus, it said, to come out and to partake and to join in on this public manifestation of, really, like you said, hatred upon the Alabama legislator, those that signed into law this wonderful pro-life bill,
right,
that would protect children from every instance, and I can't help but think that, first of all, this is Alabama, like Matthew was saying, and who used to live in Alabama and who was buried in Alabama but Mother Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
She lived here for so many years, and she prayed for an end to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
She started the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, and under the, they have a statue there of the Divine Child Jesus. And that statue of the Divine Child Jesus was placed there very specifically for women that would come there that were seeking healing, that were hurt by the culture, that maybe have had abortions themselves, that they would look at that statue and see first of all, our Lord as a child, and know that there is no evil in this world that cannot be forgiven, that God is literally holding his heart out for them. She prayed constantly for an end to abortion. And I can't help but think that she is in heaven interceding.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that.
Yeah.
And we can't say that definitively. I know.
Yes.
I know this. But I'm just in reading into this, I can't help but think that, because this happened in Alabama first, that Mother Angelica somehow has something to do with this. Her prayers in general.
Absolutely. It is time to call upon the communion of saints. I mean, I was going to ask you, when you saw this, I know somebody sent it to you. They saw it on Instagram, this call for this curse. Yeah. And it's natural that they would send it to you, a friar, a symbol of God in our midst. As you wear your habit, you kind of call to attention this need for prayer. What was your response?
My response is to pray right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I told a few friends of mine, I forwarded it to all the friars, so they were made aware. It was kind of stirring. I mean, it's jarring when you see that a kind of call.
Absolutely.
Toward evil, and a call toward divisiveness. And we're all used to receiving prayer requests, and I receive them all the time, and so we know what it's like to a call for prayer is a call for the Christian to offer sacrifice, to offer prayer for those that are suffering. But this is a different type of call. And it was really quite jarring for me to see this.
Yeah.
Especially in such a public way.
It reminds me of the fact that back during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings,
yeah,
for his nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court, it was eventually approved by the United States, and he's on the Supreme Court now,
yeah,
that a very similar call went out, that he was cursed, he was hexed by groups of black witches, of those who practice this type of the dark arts. Why? What is it about this topic, and it was specifically targeting Brett Kavanaugh over abortion, the connection between what the reality of what abortion is and this type of a curse?
I think it's, well, when we think about human life is a fundamental right that all of us have. And it really, it's a mockery of the incarnation, I would say, when it comes down to us, that God became man and dwelt among us. He became a child in the womb. And any attack at life is, I look at as a attack at Christianity, a attack at Jesus Christ himself. But there is no evil that can be surmounted in this world. I mean, light and goodness and truth and charity always win the battle. It's not as if we're in this battle and there's the dark side and the light side, like Star Wars. The darkness, evil doesn't hold a candle to the power of Almighty God. I think people need to keep that in mind in this spiritual battle, in the culture, in their families, in their workplaces, that they need to call to mind that God's strength and the truth of the gospel will always prevail. He's already won the battle. The battle, obviously, is being played out, mm-hmm, in our lives, in the culture, but we need to enter into that equipped and prepared.
Absolutely. There are two things I want to get to. One is there are some who are on the front lines, and those are the abortion clinics. The abortion clinics, yes, those are big-time front lines where people go and pray. The pro-life community goes and prays, and they're on this front line of battle. There's the pro-life pregnancy centers that are another line of battle. I want to talk about that in a minute. But, when you talk about the light and the darkness, it's true. The light has overcome the darkness in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
At the same time, we are still seeking to bring souls to Christ.
Yes.
And so this is where this battle that we are a part of is so so challenging, because sometimes we are on a different side of this issue than our friends and family members.
Sure. And redemption is being played out. Objectively, redemption has been accomplished in Christ Jesus. He has objectively won the battle, but that objective battle has to be subjectively lived out in us. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah.
It needs to be lived out in you.
It requires
and
our
in
will.
Me. Yes, we need to constantly say no to sin and yes to virtue, to God. And that's lived out in our lives. And we see that being heated up in the midst of the world. One thing that keeps coming to mind is one of my professors, Father Frederick Miller. He used to say to us, and this is in the lines of Mother Teresa. He used to teach Mother Teresa and give retreats to her.
Hmm.
He used to say that no matter how much evil that there is in the world, one act of heroic charity done out of love of God is greater than all of the evil from the fall to the end of time.
Wow.
Now, that's hard to imagine. That's hard for us because one act of love done out of love of God is theological, and God's love is creative. There's mm-hmm. nothing creative about evil. Evil is a twisting of that which is good. It's not, evil's not creative. So when God is working through the human person, through the human personality, as we can be characters and we can have our temperaments, and
right.
you know, Mother Angelicus showed that, you know, but when God works through the human person, it's powerful. Like you see what Mother Teresa did. You know, one act of love, one act of going out and picking up a leper off the street, that's greater than all of the evil mess
sure.
in the world.
You know, it reminds me of Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in doing good, you know, and to outdo ourselves in goodness and generosity. And it also keeps in mind that whenever we see this kind of hatred, yeah. that our response can't be one of hatred, of anger. It needs to be one of peace and serenity, of total trust in God's providence and of love. And that's so crucial. And of faith that the victory has yeah. been won. I know that you do some work with Crisis Pregnancy
yes.
Centers. How are they weathering this battle?
So there's a local pregnancy center in Birmingham, Her Choice, which is somewhat known, I think, in the United States, at least, because of Jim and Joy Pinto,
right.
Who work there and
Our
run
colleagues.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have At Home and Jim and Joy. So they're always talking about their pregnancy resource center and what it's like to run that. One day after the bill was signed, I went down there because, I didn't even plan to go down there. I was visiting somebody, an employee at EWTN who has cancer. But after I was leaving the Kirkland Clinic, just something kind of prompted me. I just sensed, like, just stop by Her Choice. And it was right down the street. I stopped by. And I walked in, and one of the employees said, they looked shocked to see me. And they said, we were just talking about you.
Mm.
We were just saying Father John Paul needs to come down here, and there here you are. And I'm like, well, I guess I was listening to the Holy Spirit. Then my antenna was up.
Right.
So they said what happened right outside of Her Choice. Somebody had painted a clothes hanger with Roe versus Wade saves lives right outside mm-hmm. of the Pregnancy Resource Center, Her Choice, right outside the front door. They called the cops right away. The cop came down and was appalled.
Sure, right.
Because she herself, the cop, said, "I'm pro-life. I don't want this Roe versus Wade. I don't like it any more than anybody else." And they called the city. The city came down and took care of it right away, cleaned it. Thanks
right.
be to God.
Right.
But Jim Pinto told me that that was done throughout Birmingham. It wasn't done just at
Here,
Her Choice.
Right.
There were other places that was done. So I almost looked at that as almost like a defilement
mm-hmm.
on something, a work of good, a work of charity. So I said, Jim, would you mind if I'm going to go into the chapel because I'm responsible for the chapel there. I asked our bishop if I could establish a chapel there and offer Mass there once a month, which
Wonderful.
I did today.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it makes the biggest difference in the world. And Jim and Joy will tell you that having the Blessed Sacrament and having Mass offered there on a monthly basis and knowing that our Lord is present in their Pregnancy Resource Center, the battle, actually Jim even said the battle intensified.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
When our Lord's presence was there, but in a good way.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Them
well,
knowing
it's recognition that, of the mm-hmm. spiritual side of this, which we don't yes. do enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
And real quick, I know we're going to be talking with Elisa about some of the stories around the country mm-hmm. relating to this. But these incidents are not just here in Alabama. They're
everywhere.
All across the country. What advice can you give to members of the pro-life movement who are starting to feel intimidated? Some of them are actually being physically assaulted. Many of them are being verbally assaulted, as we saw in Pennsylvania, in Missouri, and elsewhere. What kind of encouragement, what advice do you give to develop that virtue of fortitude?
Well, first of all, pray before, during, and after. Mm-hmm. Just don't go out and think that you can do it by yourself. You need to pray to protect yourself. So even before going out, pray that you can be a good witness. Pray that you can be a light shining in the darkness. And I would also encourage people, if you can, do not go out by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to go out surrounded with other people, with friends, with family. I think the more people out there with you, the better. It's a better witness than just one person.
Right.
But that being said, one person out there is beautiful and can do a world of difference and does do a world of difference. But to pray.
Absolutely. Stay
in the state of grace, obviously. Receive the sacraments frequently. And go to Holy Communion before you go out to pray.
Yeah, and just like we started our conversation today before we got onto air, we started with a Saint Michael prayer, and Saint Michael is there to defend us in the battle,
yeah.
and of course there's Saint Benedict who also is to protect us.
And wear a Saint Benedict medal, I would say. I think that's important. Everybody should have a Saint Benedict medal on their person. If it's not around your neck, but because the medal is very powerful in the history of the church.
And I would just toss out a name that's not familiar to too many people, Blessed Bartolo Longo.
Yes,
who
yes.
Who was a convert. At one point, he was a priest in the Church of Satan had a massive conversion and is a blessed and is one of the great figures in the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre.
I agree.
Well, this is, I think, very sound advice, even for those of us who work in the media covering these topics, because we're also on the front line. Father John Paul, thank you so much for sharing with us what your experience has been and for backing us, most importantly, backing us with your prayers.
It's a privilege and an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll be joined by Elisa Murphy. We'll be continuing this conversation about the spiritual ramifications of abortion in this battle, but we'll also take a look at what's been going on across the country on social media and, you know, in locations like abortion clinics and pro-life pregnancy centers. This is Register Radio. More when we return.
This Easter season, read for faith, read for truth, read for life by giving yourself the gift of EWTN's National Catholic Register. Easter inaugurates a joyous season of hope and renewal that brings us closer to God. Gain a deeper understanding of His love and providence in reading the Register. Make this Easter season even more meaningful. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get your 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code RADIO. That's ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code RADIO. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. I'm here in studio with Matthew Bunsen, who is my co-host on Register Radio, but also the Register Senior Editor. And we're joined by Elisa Murphy, who is not in studio with us, who's joining us remotely. And you probably, our listeners probably know Elisa Murphy from Morning Glory, but now she's working for the Register full-time. In the intro, I kind of got tongue-tied over her title, but the long and short of it is she is managing all of the Register's digital media. So she's managing our website, she's managing our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram accounts. It's a very big job. Elisa, we're so grateful to have you on board, and you're doing great work.
Well, it's great to be here, and one of the best benefits of the job is I get to hear from all of our readers and even all of our listeners from Register Radio. We get to hear your comments and concerns and questions, and we definitely do take all of them into account with all the reporting and stories that we're working on.
Absolutely. Every day, in fact, we get a little idea of what's trending and what our readers and listeners are saying. So it's an important part of our work. Of course, we're talking about a topic that has just everyone everywhere talking, and it's the topic of the abortion battle that our country is facing. We were talking specifically about Alabama's law, and Elisa, I thought it was important because there's so much confusion out there about what this particular law does. I thought if we could just start there, what is the Alabama law and what does it do? One of the things I've heard is that it criminalizes women who have abortions, but that's not true.
And that is simply not the case. You were just speaking with Father John Paul, and he mentioned how life is a fundamental right. And Governor Kay Ivey just signed what she calls the Human Life Protection Act and is trying to do just that, is trying to protect human life. She, when signing it, said to the many supporters, "This legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God." And the bill does criminalize abortion itself. It makes abortion virtually illegal within the state, including instances of rape and incest. But in no way, shape, or form does it vilify or criminalize a woman.
Right.
What it does do is, if you're an abortionist and you do perform an abortion, the abortionist would find themselves behind bars for a great length of time. It wouldn't be prison. It wouldn't be jail. It would be prison time. And what's interesting to note on that is, many of the abortion supporters always cry that abortion is women's health, when in fact we do know of states like California where you don't have to be a doctor to perform an abortion. It could be a nurse practitioner. It could actually also just be someone that's trained in giving an abortion. So,
right, and this is
in Alabama. It does. There's penalties for the doctor who performs the abortion.
This is a sign. I mean, what you're describing is the confusion out there is a sign of how much misinformation gets perpetuated, not only by social media and the conversations that go on, but sometimes by the media themselves, by celebrities. I mean, we had the vile cartoon by Jim Carrey, and I mean, that was disgusting. It was horrific. He was basically portraying an abortion of the governor of Alabama, saying some fetuses should be aborted before their governor. I mean, wow! Can you believe it? And of course, that kind of backfired. What did you see on social media and in other news outlets, Elisa, of the response to such vile cartoon as Jim Carrey's?
Yeah, at first, everyone was outraged by the image, especially the pro-life community, because it does show the real true horror of abortion. And it showed, in essence, that Carrie was quite all right with extinguishing a soul in the womb, mm-hmm. Crushing any hopes and desires that child has to become a governor of any state, including Alabama, or president. So many pro-lifers actually, after thinking about it, somewhat applauded what he did, because he really did show the true harsh reality that is abortion. And we've heard from many voices we know from the pro-life community. Ben Shapiro, notable conservative talk show host, said this is a great depiction of an abortion, clinically accurate and wiping out an individual human life.
Right. It's sad. It's sadly true. Right. It's sadly true. Matthew,
we're seeing these efforts on social media on the part of the pro-abortion movement to either mock people or to use this sort of a vulgar cartoon in order to make their point. And yet they're constantly tripping over themselves and accidentally revealing the reality of abortion, or as we saw with Alyssa Milano, the power of abstinence and monogamy.
Right. Right. And
exactly.
And basically she was saying, let's
have a ban sex strike.
A sex strike. Yeah. We're, right. You know, with conservative men. I'm like, okay, that's smart. Very good. Very good.
Yes. And another word for that would be abstinence.
Abstinence. Exactly.
Which we're all good with.
It's getting ridiculous. But it's also, I think, revealing the truth. It's just revealing the truth and the ugliness of this. There's no hiding behind cliches. There's no hiding behind fancy marketing and this is women's health. And this is the truth. And the battle is very, very ugly. Alyssa, you have followed the response of the pro-life community. You have helped us in our editorial meetings see stories that we need to do of hope. Bring to our listeners some of what we discuss and some of the stories we decide to do that are more hopeful.
Sure. And just on the note of what's occurring in social media that is ever so hopeful is I never thought in a million years that abortion itself as a topic would be trending on social media because it's that big. And the hashtag, I support a woman's right to be born,
yes.
being very, and it's gotten a huge response. Many people are actually tweeting that and sharing that on Instagram. And in other states, you know, we've just seen today Governor Bel Edwards in Louisiana is actually going to be signing a heartbeat bill as Missouri just passed. Interesting to note, you know, we always, you know, we look at the Hollywood elite and many of the pro-abortion side. We always seem to think that with the strength of Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobby that they kind of control things. But look at in the state of Louisiana, you have a Democratic governor saying he's going to sign that bill, that heartbeat bill, into law. And he actually cites his own Catholic faith in being pro-life.
Yeah, that's very positive. There's something I've been thinking about. A CNN host interviews an EWTN host on abortion. I mean, Alyssa, wow.
Yes. that was quite a moment. Last weekend, Brian Stelter on CNN invited our own Catherine Hadro to come on the show because the abortion topic was being, you know, handled by media outlets across the board, many that normally steer clear of such a topic, Catherine was able to talk about the language that we use when we talk about this issue. I mean, we ourselves know with AP, it's always anti-abortion, abortion activists. Pro-life is never used. And
right.
so it was interesting to actually have a CNN host talk specifically about, I mean, verbatim, saying, and this network actually has a whole entire show dedicated to the pro-life community. And Catherine did a wonderful job in really talking about the great work she does and also reiterating what we were talking about earlier, that in no way, shape, or form does this Alabama law criminalize women.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just I feel as much as this is a battle, a spiritual battle, and we have to be armored with the truth and in all of the virtues. This is a wonderfully important moment, and I think that culturally, this is a moment we have not been in a very, very long time, where we can speak such clear truth. So we're going to continue the discussion a little bit more, because there's, I think, a lot more to talk about. I think, Alisa, we can just keep going for the podcast, okay?
Okay.
You want to join us, join back in? You can?
Sure.
Okay. I'm inviting Father John Paul back into the discussion.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, Alisa, yes, Catherine's moment was an incredible moment. I know that you've seen another other very important opportunities for us. One of them was last week when you encouraged us to talk about women who have been raped, sadly, who have been raped and who have kept their child and who are staunchly pro-life, who are or continue to be protectors of life. What have you seen on that topic?
You know, there's been just so many powerful stories of women that are in fear and quite traumatized by what's occurred to them, being raped and sexually assaulted. Many stories, people coming forward, sharing the true reality that they did indeed keep the child, and just the gift of the child in their own life actually lends to their healing.
Right.
They feel like the only way they were able to really get through that horror was to bring this baby into the world and give love to this child in so many different ways. And you see how that doesn't really, you know, it's not a narrative you typically hear.
Right.
And we saw just the other day President Trump himself saying that there should be exceptions for rape and incest. But I think that's the true beauty of what God offers in life, is that even when when it's brought into this terrible state of rape, that there is still hope for many. And we know that Project Rachel does a great deal of help with some of these women struggling with this.
And we've got a story that has moved to the top of our trending list, and it's on rape and adoption, one woman's story. And it is the story of someone who was violated and who offered that child for adoption. So interesting, that story. One of our D.C. Correspondents now, she said, wait a minute, I know that guy.
Really?
The young man who is now, in his 20s, I believe. But she said, I grew up in a homeschooling group with that child. He was, adopted has been leading a wonderful life. And so it was just, I mean, these are real people. I mean, these are people who are neighbors, who sit next to us on the bus
changed our lives
exactly. Because
they're here.
Exactly. And so we need to bring that human dimension into this. It's not all about law and policy. It's about affecting real lives. And the pro-life community in no way is ignorant of this, these women's pain.
We're compassionate. We want to reach out to them and help them with healing and show them mercy and goodness and kindness. And, two wrongs don't make a right.
Right. And there's so much discussion about this is a bunch of white people, making these making these laws. And that's not the case. You've got beautiful voices like Alveda King who are speaking on behalf of her own community about the devastation of abortion. This just can't be painted with those broad sweeping strokes the way the media tries to do it.
Well, especially as I seem to recall, it was an all white, essentially almost all white Supreme Court that gave us the decision on Roe v. Wade.
Right. There you go.
Yes. And they try to make the same argument with it being men are making all these these decisions. And look at the governor of Alabama.
Right, Kay Ivey.
Yeah. Female. And you know what? We are in National Foster Care Month right now, this month of May. And another note of the beautiful state of Alabama, I must say, They
a lot of people are saying that.
Number one when it comes to foster care and adoption placement, which is just amazing. It really speaks to the care and love for the family that the state has. And then just recently, just this past week, a popular cartoon children like to watch had a scene that showed some same-sex marriage couple or something like that. And the state of Alabama said, no, we're not going to air it. So it really,
I think this is the cartoon Arthur, right?
Pivotal time.
Wow, Arthur?
Yeah, Arthur. Right. Yeah, but we're kind of in this pivotal time where, because, you know, people are making strong stands and putting their conscience where their mouth is, we are actually, people are having to pick sides. And it's just truly beautiful to see life winning.
Yeah, I would encourage our listeners to press the secular media. I mean, you know, I don't often encourage people, you know, continue to comment on those websites, but be charitable.
Yes.
You know, send letters to the editor. Get your voices heard in those forums, because they're not representing you. They're not representing a majority of the country. They come from a different worldview, and it's not representative. And it's important for us to reflect back and saying, wait a minute, you know, this is the reality that we're living. And you can do that on social media, yes, you know, but and that's super important, as Elisa knows, it's her work, but to do that with the mainstream media as well is very, very important. And with us too, you know, we listen. We started off this segment talking about how we listen to what our readers say and what our listeners say and how they give us feedback. It's hugely important. Well, we need to make those voices heard in other newsrooms as well. So I'm all out of words myself, but maybe my guests want to join in with something more.
Well, one thing that's worth adding here, and it goes to your point, Jeanette, that one of the things that the abortion movement loves to try to impress upon supposed pro-life movement is that you're alone. That there aren't very many people who follow what you think.
You're extreme.
You're extreme, who share your views, that you are a tiny minority in the country. And that's exactly what the devil does as well. That you are alone, that you are helpless.
Mm. He's the great accuser. You know, he's the one that accuses us. He wants us to feel isolated, like we're alone. But the reality is we're not alone. I think the pro-life movement, those who... you'll want life to be cherished at all stages, is increasing even more so in our country. And I think we've seen that throughout the past 25, 30, 40 years.
Amen to that.
You know, another great place where these conversations are occurring are in front of Planned Parenthood clinics, where pro-life supporters have been out every day, even before any of these headlines started, praying for those babies and those mothers that are walking in, weighing this decision. And, you know, we've had now, because of the movie Unplanned, more people coming out to the Planned Parenthood clinics.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm going to... really are coming out there because there's no... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to recap a little bit because your sound quality is getting bad, but you're talking about how many people are coming out to pray... and to represent hope and light at Planned Parenthood clinics. And many people have been inspired to do so by the movie Unplanned. And your sound quality was breaking up, so I wanted to make sure people heard that. But yes, it has encouraged a lot of people. We've been trying to follow that movement as well on the Register, and making sure we're giving voice to those people who are coming out. And also giving people ideas of other things that they can do. But I'm, you know, to close our, you know, our discussion, I'm going to start with go back to where we started with the need for prayer, and to always to clothe ourselves in prayer, and as we engage in any way on this issue. And so, Father, would you offer a blessing as we conclude, and then I'll wrap up our show.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for sending your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, to die, to redeem mankind, to send the Holy Spirit among us to renew the face of the earth. We ask that the same Spirit enliven and embolden your faithful people to be a culture of life and a civilization of love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
So thank you both for being my guest. And Alisa, you know, I wish our audience could see you because you are pregnant and,
yes,
and a wonderful witness to the sanctity of life. And so we pray for you and your unborn child. And we invite all of our listeners to go to ncregister.com, check out the register and all of our news, analysis, and commentary. Thank you for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.